Good morning to you all. Trust that you had a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, those of you who were able to go. We had a fantastic time. We were able to go over to Italy and spend a very incredible time in a beautiful setting. I know many here have been to that feast site. I've never been there. We were in Italy 19 years ago and really enjoyed it then and wanted our girls to be able to see it. So it was a blessing to be able to take them to some of the places that we'd seen in the past. But what a beautiful sight we had there, and what a wonderful crowd of people from all over the place. It's really neat to go someplace and speak to so many people or talk to so many people that are from, even if they live in some other country, their nationality is of a different origin. They're just, it was such a blending of people that it seemed like every person you meet was from some other far-flung country, and it was quite enjoyable. That's part of the reason that the feast is so enjoyable. We have opportunities to make new acquaintances, make new friends, and reacquaint ourselves with, reunite with people that we've seen somewhere in the past. Often we run into somebody and it'll be like, quite certain I know you. I don't know from where I know you, but I think I'm pretty sure we know. And as you start talking, sure enough, you'll find that it was 10 years ago or 15 years ago, or maybe just in the last couple of years you met them and just didn't remember where it was at. But that is a blessing. And, the church community is such a small community, really, when you think about it. We get out there and you start connecting all the dots. Wow, it's amazing how many connections we have on an international level, which I think is extremely a beautiful thing. My wife and I really, really enjoy that aspect of the feast. I think it's something that's it helps kind of focus our minds toward what God is working out here on this earth by calling people from all different nationalities and all different backgrounds. When you sit around in an all-inclusive site like we had in Italy, you meet such a diversity of people, and that's one of the beauties of going somewhere like that. It seems like you spend most of your time sitting and eating, but you will end up meeting, out of 200-plus people, and most of you have experienced this, you'll meet just about everybody there. It's almost hard not to meet every single person when you're in a site like that. You meet members that have been in the church 50 years and people who are just recently baptized and people who are at the feast and don't attend regularly sometimes. You have such a broad spectrum of people that you get to speak with, people from different organizations other than our own. I mean, a lot of independent groups will show up at international sites in particular, and I'm sure you experienced that here as well. But it really helps us, again, realize we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. And also, I think traveling international makes us feel pretty small in the world at the same time. You realize we're part of a unique group, but it also can make you feel small when you get out there and you meet people who speak six languages, eight languages. It's always fascinating to me what people have in terms of gifts and what they've been able to, all the places they've lived, and it's a fascinating world. If you would, let's turn to Colossians to start this morning. I just want to read an introduction, and then introduction to a subject from Colossians. Bear with me, I still feel like I'm in a fog. We got back late Thursday evening, and I tried to work Friday. I worked most of the day until I was just absolutely exhausted, and I tried last night to work on this and to no avail. So, fortunately, on my clock, I get up early. It was no problem. My alarm went off at 4:30, and it's like popped right open. I'm like, okay, well, whatever schedule I'm on, it's working to my favor in the mornings, not to my favor in the evenings. Colossians 1, verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. Says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and all that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Of course, this is describing Jesus Christ. We'll come back to this scripture at the end of the message. I wanted to introduce here part of it, but we'll come back to it later. And I wanted to talk a little bit about all things, both on earth and in heaven, the things that are created by Christ himself, for him and by him and through him. I did a little research this morning on some statistics, and a lot of people don't like statistics, but I'm always amazed when I start reading things and go, wow, that's amazing. I never would have guessed it. But speaking about all things that are created, and then thinking a little bit about the diversity of what we see when we're able to go and be with God's people from all over the world, I'm going to talk about diversity. I'm going to start a little bit with just diversity in God's creation. Diversity in God's creation. Now, there are approximately, I'm going to throw out a lot of statistics here, but just a little bit of mind-bending. There are approximately 400,000 flowering plant species in the world. I could probably name six flowers if you asked me. 400,000 flowering plant species. The number of tree species is a little bit debated, but according to the North Carolina State College of Agriculture, there are 23,000 different kinds of trees in the world. 23,000. I wonder why God had to create so many different trees. 23,000. There are about 10,000 species of birds. Rough number, depending on the source, varying sources, but somewhere in that 10,000 species of birds. That's diversity. A lot of diversity there. According to the Florida Museum of Natural History, there are approximately 27,300 species of fish. And these numbers may not be mind-boggling to you, but they kind of boggle my mind. Again, I can probably name a dozen fish. 27,300. That's the ones that have been described. There are more, but they've just not gotten around to cataloging them. So those are the ones that they know, and they have names, and they're assigned. I was just trying to think of pretty things, so I'm throwing this out there, particularly for the kids. There are 20,000 species of butterflies. Think of a butterfly. If you look at one single butterfly, and you just look at the diversity and the beauty in one butterfly, you know, all the colors, the amazing creation of a butterfly, there are 20,000 different species of butterflies. There are approximately 4,750 species of frogs. My daughter loved frogs. My oldest daughter, as a child, she collected koi frogs, and she even had a pet frog, and frogs were her thing, but we didn't get close to 4,750 different species of frogs. There are approximately 4,675 species of lizards, including iguanas, chameleons, geckos, Gila monsters, monitors, and skinks. 4,675. Why so much diversity? Why is there so much in the world that's so much diversity in the world? 5,416 different species of mammals. 5,416 different species of mammals alone. Mammals. And if that's not enough in just sheer number, think of the variety of mammals. The largest mammal is a blue whale, weighs up to 200 tons. The smallest mammal is a little bat, about the size of a bumblebee, weighs 2 ounces. that's a small, what diversity between that and that. It's amazing to me. It's almost like God set out to just puzzle his creation. Just say, you know, I always think of that. You can't help but think about Job when you read these numbers and you think, okay, really, do you understand? Can you comprehend the complexity of who I am and what I am and what I've done? So let's bring it into humanity a little bit. What about nationalities? I didn't really realize how many countries there were. I'm a very ignorant person, quite frankly. Nationalities. Again, sources depend on nationalities because you have a lot of nations that have not really been truly declared by others as independent. So they're kind of rogue nations that float out there waiting to be recognized as a real country. But there are 195 fully recognized countries in the world, and approximately 248 if we think about the ones that aren't recognized countries or legitimately, you know, recognized countries. Languages. We experienced a lot of that. Mentioned that earlier. You meet people at the feast, and depending on where someone was born and what languages were spoken, you know, naturally, which ones they've learned, where they've lived. Again, you meet people speaking 6, 7 languages in some countries. Just because of where they live, we've never had that really in this country, and we don't experience it. There's a group called SIL International that tracks languages. They are kind of a religious group. They track languages because they translate languages into, or translate the Bible into languages and then distribute it. So they actually publish a book that's considered the foremost expert on the number of languages in the world. It's called the Ethnologue. And as of 2009, they say that there are 6,909 distinct languages in the world. 6,000. I can't even comprehend that either. 6,909 distinct languages. Of these, 230 are spoken in Europe. 230 languages in Europe alone. And 2,197 are spoken in Asia. That's a lot of diversity of language. A lot of diversity. Here's the part I thought was interesting, just as a side note. As of 2009, at least a portion of the Bible has been translated into 2,508 different languages. So as we think about people who have been exposed to the Word of God, at least in some form, they've at least translated it into 2,508 different languages. Diversity. And diversity is one of those beautiful things that God has created. And sometimes diversity kind of gets a bad rap. It kind of gets, because of the world we live in and Satan's influence, diversity kind of gets skewed. It gets altered. It gets corrupted in our society. In our world today, diversity has been polluted by what is known as tolerance. We kind of live in a society that is that preaches a religion of tolerance. We live in a world that doesn't quite understand the difference between true diversity, as God intended diversity or as He created diversity, and intolerance. There is a big difference. You know, in our world today, diversity or tolerance, tolerance is celebrated. It's celebrated and it's worshipped in a sense. It's like the highest form of moral achievement in our society. You know, if you are an extremely tolerant person, meaning that you tolerate or you accept any and all behavior, with the exception of moral absolutes. You can't have a moral absolute. That's the only thing that tolerant people won't tolerate, is the belief in something, you know, absolute or something solid. But society says if you're tolerant of all, then you've reached the pinnacle of achievement as a human. You're the most moral. You're the most essentially perfect frame of mind. If you can tolerate all things, if you can accept all things, and that you can judge nothing as being wrong. But today I'd like to look at God's perspective on diversity. And really it's, I'd ask the question, does the Bible celebrate diversity? Does it celebrate the uniqueness of the individual? Or is our society's view on diversity the same as God's view on diversity? This topic is actually huge. If you were to start going into the ideologies of psychology and sociology and start looking into terms like pluralism and ecumenism and moral relativism and all of these things, you could go on for a series of three or four sermons. And I suspect someday Mr. Petty will probably do that because he understands all that stuff and speaks it well. But I'm not going to try to do that. Neither do I have the time or the intelligence really to do that. But what I would like to do is for us as a group just to collectively read a little out of the Bible and just consider how the scriptures celebrate not tolerance. They don't celebrate tolerance. What they do celebrate is diversity in oneness. Diversity in oneness. And that's what I want to look at today. Diversity in the scriptures is celebrated in unity. It's celebrated in unity. Through diversity, for example, the body of Christ is strengthened. Diversity creates strength in the body of Christ. Without diversity, we would not have strength. If everyone's mind was the same, if everyone's background was the same, if everyone thought the same way, you would be incomplete. So God creates diversity for a reason. It strengthens His body. God wants, He is inclusive. He wants to include all peoples, all races in His plan. And He intends to. And the reason is because there's great strength in diversity. And same in society. Why are there so many, not society, but in nature, why are there so much diversity? Because that creates a world that's sustainable. Let's look at John 10. First, I want to look at the aspect of God's family. God's family is inclusive. God's family is inclusive. John 10, verse 30, I'm not going to turn there, I'm just going to read it. It says, I and my Father are one. This is Christ's teaching. Christ is saying, me, I, and my Father, we are one. In John 17, 22, it says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. See, although we're diverse, God intends for us to become one. Unity. He wants us to be united in one. John 10, verse 14 and 16. John 10, verses 14 through 16. Let me turn back there. Verse 14 of John 10 says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In verse 16 it says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And this is, again, Christ is talking essentially to those the Jewish people there in his community at the time. And he's saying, I have other sheep out there. There's other sheep in the world. I have other believers. And he's saying this before he actually has them. I mean, he's basically, this is a prophecy, quite frankly. It is a prophecy. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. He's making a proclamation that he came to include all of humanity. He came to include all of humanity. I have other sheep out there. They don't know it yet, but I'm going to include them in this. I'm going to bring them. And they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock. Ultimately, there will be one flock, and there will be one shepherd. Again, it's kind of a prophecy of the future for Christ when he was speaking this. Let's look again back. Well, let's go back to Acts 10. Again, we're looking at the inclusiveness of God and his plan. Inclusiveness. And Peter, in Acts 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. And this is following, the story is, this is when Peter had the vision of the pigs and unclean meats, and God was showing him that he had to have a mind of inclusiveness. He could not, if God said, this person is going to be in my family, you can't deny them. He had to be receptive of all mankind. In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, verse 35, but in every nation, all 180, how many did I say? 196 nations. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Every nation. You know, we celebrated at the feast and a time when all people who've ever lived, particularly the last day, all people will have an opportunity to be part of God's family. And that all people will know God's truth. And all people will bow their knee to God, to Christ. And in this scripture was read during the feast, Revelation 7, verse 9. Revelation 7, verse 9. Again, looking at the inclusiveness of God. With all the diversity he creates, he's a very inclusive. He's inclusive with his people. Revelation 7, verse 9. And again, this is a vision. This is a vision of the repentant people who actually are living on earth at the time of the tribulation. And they survive the tribulation. They live through it. This is not speaking necessarily of people who are of Israelitish descent. I mean, this is anybody in the world who survives the tribulation. Verse 9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations. Get this, all nations. Maybe it's all 246, even the ones that aren't independent. All tribes, all peoples, and all tongues. People who speak the 6,000 languages out there. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. And one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? Verse 13. And where did they come from? Where did these people come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. Verse 14. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation. And washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. All peoples, all nations, all tribes, all tongues. There's a huge, diverse world out there that we know nothing about. There is a huge world of people out there that God is working with individually. Just as he's worked with us individually. Sometimes when we sit here in the United States and we see the work of God, we see it as a small group of people. A very small, intimate group of people who have been blessed enough to live in this country where we do have unity of voice, where we have freedoms, where we can have freedom of religion. Because God sees all people equally. And He has worked with certain groups of people, but there is a huge world of people out there that God is working with. We don't know. We can't limit Him. But it's fun sometimes to think about, particularly when we go to the feast and we meet people from all these different origins, and you ask, how did you end up in the church? How did you end up here? Tell me about your family. Tell me about, I met people of all places from Calgary. Edmonton, Alberta. There was a large group of people from Edmonton. And every single one of them was of a different nationality, a national descent. I did not realize Edmonton was such a culturally diverse city. There was one gentleman who was Irish, and he came over to Canada years ago, lost his job, kind of got booted out, went down to Australia, worked in Australia, then came back. He's married to an Indian lady. Anyway, back in Edmonton, still has a real strong, thick Irish accent. Another gentleman was Ukrainian from up there. They have a large Ukrainian population in Edmonton. It's just fascinating, all of the people who have moved all over the world. But then think of all of those others that we don't know, people in far-flung countries. So when God says, I'm going to send out my angels to the four corners of the earth, we have no idea. We would be fooling ourselves to think that we really understand what and all who God is working with. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, kind of wrapping up this point, God's inclusiveness in His family. Help if I could remember what order it was in. There we go. Colossians 3, verse 9. Kind of breaking into a thought here. Verse 9 says, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Verse 11, where there is neither a Greek nor a Jew, neither a circumcised or uncircumcised, or a barbarian or a Scythian, or slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. Next point. I only have 2 points, so hopefully this goes on pretty quickly. God's family is diverse in gifts and talents. God's family is diverse in gifts and talents. Let's turn back to Romans 12. Paul spoke of gifts, varying gifts. Just about every book that he had part of has some set of scripture that ties to another one, talking about the gifts that God gives, and the diversity of those gifts. And as I mentioned earlier, that it's those varying gifts, varying talents that create a strong group, a cohesive group that can follow through with the work that God has given them to do. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. Not all of us here have the same function. We all have different things that we're better at. There are different gifts. Everyone has different gifts, different strengths, and different talents. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of each other. in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or if in ministry, let us use it in ministry. If your gift is taking care of people, then use that gift. Take care of people. If your gift is in writing cards and consoling and being compassionate or empathetic, then by all means, use that gift. He who teaches in teaching. Verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives, give with liberality. He who leads, lead with diligence. And he who shows mercy, do so with cheerfulness. Do so with cheerfulness. Ephesians 4, I'm reading a lot of scriptures because I wanted to point out, really, again, I said I just kind of wanted to read through a lot of these things because I want to point out the diversity that God has in the oneness of his body of Christ. It's kind of a contradiction in terms. There's huge diversity in one body. And it's different than what we would see in the world. You look out in the world and people want to make diversity the pinnacle of achievement. You are unique. You are different. You're not a yellow pencil. My wife mentioned that someone used that term one time regarding camp. They're like, they just want us to be all yellow pencils. Not in terms of gifts and talents and abilities, but in terms of spirit, in terms of the mind, yes, singleness of mind, singleness of spirit. That we are supposed to be somewhat like yellow pencils. Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 7. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, again, it's very similar to what we just read, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, again, we're talking about unity or oneness, unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. We have one hope. All of us have the same hope. In that sense, we are yellow pencils. We are of one body, we're of one spirit, and we all have the same hope. We have one Lord, we have one faith, and there's only one baptism. You can't be baptized into some other name. It's simply there is one baptism. There's one God, the Father of all mankind. There's only one. You can't have different gods. If you're looking at being tolerant, we can be tolerant of other religions. You don't have to go out and call us. But in reality, there aren't multiple ways. There isn't pluralism in religion. There aren't two separate ways to get to the same place. There's one gate that we all go through. But there's one God, only one God. And there's one Father of all mankind, who's above all and through all and in you all. In verse 7, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Again, we come back to the group as a whole. There are varying gifts, and that's where the diversity is in God's church. The diversity is not in diversity of beliefs, diversity of hope, or diversity of spirit. All of those are the same. Our differences are according to the gifts that Christ gives us through that Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, if you would. 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm just going to, this is basically 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 1, just picks up on the same thought that we just read to each of, you know, in verse 7 of the previous passage, we're all given a measure of Christ's gift. He's given us all a certain gift. But verse 1 picks up on this idea. Now, concerning these gifts, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's what we read earlier. There's a lot of diversity in gifts in the body. But there is only one Spirit within the body. There are diversities of ministries, but there's only one God. There are different ways to serve, different ways to minister, different ways to be helpful in the body, but we all serve the same God. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God working in all people, no matter the activity. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of everyone. So God gives these gifts, it's for the benefit and profit of the entire body. It's not for the glory of one individual or the glory of it's not for their building up of themselves. It's for the body. Everything that we do within the body is for the profit of the group. Again, looking at the oneness of the group. For to one in verse 8 is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, but to another the word of knowledge from the very same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We have, over the years, I've been amazed at the faith of some people. Some people have such a strong, strong conviction. They have such strong faith. And some of us are weak in faith. But those who are weak in faith can learn from those who are strong. Ask them. You know, it's a beautiful thing at the feast when you're sitting around and you spend that much time with somebody in the group. You're discussing the messages. That, again, one of the reasons I love those inclusive sites, because you can spend hours talking to people. But one evening we got on the topic of prayer. And that's a rare conversation in the church. Most people are afraid to talk about prayer. And it was almost uncomfortable because people were asking, how do you pray? Do you pray out loud or do you pray silently? And it's odd, why would you ask the question? But it's beneficial for someone who has trouble with prayer. Say, well, you know, I find that if I speak out loud, that I can maintain focus on what I'm praying about. But when you have conversations with people who are strong in some area, that have a gift in some area, it's edifying, it's strengthening, and it encourages the whole body. So don't hesitate to take opportunities to speak about things that feel personal, feel almost, you know, if you have a very strong German descent, you kind of build that wall, you know. But if you spend time with Italians, it's a little more inclusive, right? Everyone's a little closer. But verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Gifts of healings. To another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. It makes me think of a story my wife, actually my father-in-law was telling of years back. At the feast, they had one man who would stand at the door. There was a pastor who had the gift of discerning of spirits. He could stand at the door and he could stop people at the door that were of ill intent, basically, or that the demons were working with. He could recognize. I don't have that gift, I don't think. But I think we all have certain gifts that God's given us. Something just doesn't feel right. You have those gut reactions. If you're close to God and God's working with you, maybe you do have a little bit of discerning of spirit. But that man could stop. He'd be like, you don't belong here. That's all he would say to them. You don't belong here. They'd turn around and walk off. Because they knew. They were not, you know, they knew. Verse 10. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. I mentioned that already. Some people are just gifted at languages, and they can bounce back and forth between three or four languages, and it doesn't. That's a little different than just interpreting jumbled language. My understanding is some tongues are just not even a real language. I don't know. We've not been around that much. But I think often when it speaks of this, these are real languages. And some people have a natural gift at those things. And it is a gift. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works on all these things. It's one Spirit. It's unity. The diversity is in the gifts. The diversity is in your background, in your talents. But it's the same Spirit. It's the same God. It's the same Lord. It's the same hope. Verse 11 again. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It is God that gives these gifts. And we can't set ourselves up to be the chief interpreter of dreams. God gives that gift. It's not for us. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink of that one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many members. One body, but it's many members. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If you can say, well, you know, I don't have to, you know, because I'm not a song leader, I don't have to sing out. Or, I mean, you can just make up whatever thing you want to make up. But if you're part of the body, you're part of the body. You have a purpose. You have a role. You have a duty. You have a place here. God doesn't call people without a position. Every person He calls, He has a role for that person. He has a job for you. You have a job within the body. Every single person has a job, has a role, as part of that body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, would there be any hearing? Again, the diversity is in the different gifts. God loves diversity. God doesn't celebrate tolerance. He celebrates diversity in unity. God celebrates diversity in oneness. Oneness of mind. The mind of Christ. Oneness of mind. Oneness of spirit. Oneness of body, oneness of faith, oneness of hope. If the whole were hearing, verse 17, where would be the smelling? Gotta have it all, right? Gotta have a little bit of all of the gifts. Everyone has, we have to have a lot of diversity in the church. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? We're not yellow pencils individually, are we? But of mind and spirit, we are somewhat yellow. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. If Mr. Petty got up here to speak and he had no one to listen, then what good would his job be? He can be the greatest speaker in the world, but if he has no audience, if he has no one out there developing other gifts, then what good is his speaking ability? We can't all be teachers. We can't all be singers. We can't all have beautiful voices. Everyone has different gifts. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Even the weakest among us are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow the greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Just because your role may not be a prominent role, does it mean that it's not honorable to God? It's a very honorable role to God, or He wouldn't have called you and He would not have placed you in the body. That there should be no schism in the body, verse 25, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with that member. You know, if you get a splinter in a toe, or you get a hangnail, your whole body is pretty much miserable, isn't it? And that's a simple little nothing, but get a knot on the bottom of your foot, or it doesn't really matter. Pick any part. Get something in your eye. You're miserable. You're completely incapacitated. You get something in your eye. You get a really bad toothache. You can't do anything. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. So let's go back to Colossians where we opened. We read Colossians 1 to open. And for closing, let's go back to Colossians 1. And we had read Colossians 1, 15 through 18. We're going to pick it up. Actually, we read through 17. We're going to pick it up in verse 18. Colossians 1, 18 in closing. And He is the head of the body, the church. Again, remember we were describing Christ. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth, things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, all of us, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. My encouragement this year for us, as we start a new year, let us learn to appreciate the diversity in the oneness that we have. Let's learn to appreciate the diversity in the oneness that we have as God's family. And let us function as much as it depends on each of us individually as one body. Let us function as one body, a singular mind, and singular spirit. Focus on that one vision, that hope of eternal life.